God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilson on this edition of The Encouraging Word. We've had many calls and texts and emails about the future and how we might be concerned about what's going to happen next. Well, let's open God's Word together today with Dr. Don Wilson heading to Matthew 24 and John 14 as we study God's encouraging word. The encouraging word. And now, Dr. Don Wilson.
We are doing an incredible Bible study. We are trying to understand some of the things that the Lord Jesus had to say concerning the end times. Do you know something? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows about us? Do you know that when Jesus came to the end of his life, and this is one of the accounts in Matthew 24, that Jesus Christ shared with his disciples, he understood, knowing that he was about to die, he understood all the things that go on in life and that were going to go on in life, that folks, to be perfectly honest, are very horrible to contemplate. In fact, here in Matthew 24, in the first couple of verses, we read about false prophets. We read about earthquakes, about famines, about wars and rumors of wars. We even read about people hating each other, wanting to betray one another. We read about tribulation, stress, hardship. Jesus is going to talk to us about Antichrist. He's going to talk to us about the filth and the sickness of the world and the hard things and the bad things, the things that we don't even necessarily want to talk about. And right here in the midst of these things, talking about the future, Jesus gives to us a number of very good things. He shares incredible good news. I said to one of my sons this week, "You want the bad news or the good news?" I can't remember which one he opted for, but you know, there's nothing more special than hearing good news. I want to share some good news. And I'd like us to focus this morning on one verse. It's found in Matthew 24 and verse 13. Matthew 24 and verse 13, look at it with me. Jesus said, "The one who stands firm to the end will be saved." By the way, that word saved, I'm sure you've encountered it. I wonder if you've heard people say, "Yes, I'm saved." What does that mean? You see, when Jesus talks about being saved, he talks about the fact that we have been rescued. What has Jesus rescued us from? Well, he's rescued us from all the pain, all the bad things, and above all, he's rescued us from our sinfulness. We have been rescued. That's what it means to be saved. And here, writing in this passage, the Lord Jesus is about to die. And he turns to his disciples and he's telling them all these things that are going on, because they asked the question. By the way, if you're interested in knowing where the question came, it came right there in verse 4. In verse 3, the disciples said, "Tell us, when will the temple come crumbling down? Tell us, what will be the signs of your coming? And tell us when the end of the age is going to happen. How's the world going to come to an end? Are we going to kill ourselves with a nuclear bomb? Is there going to be a big explosion? How's the world going to come to an end?" And Jesus was responding to this, and he was talking about all the things that were going to happen in a sinful world, the things that you and I identify with. We can all identify with these things. We know about wars and rumors of wars and deceit and destruction and pain and hardship and suffering and all of these things. And right here in the midst of this, just kaboom, like that, boof, right there in the middle, Jesus stands up and he says, "Hold on. I know there's a lot of bad news, but I want to tell you that all people who stand firm in me will be saved." Jesus gives a guarantee just like that. Now, you might say to me, "Well, how come he did that?" Well, because he's God, that's why. He gave an absolute guarantee. Jesus put his stamp upon that. He said, I'm going to tell you something that no matter what happens with all these things that go on, I want you to know that every man and every woman, every boy and every girl who stands firm in me, who knows me, who has me in their heart and life, every single one, I guarantee, will be saved. No question about it. And he gives to us two wonderful words of good news. I want to share this good news with you this morning. There are two things that Jesus teaches us in his word that's wonderful news. Number one, Jesus tells us that he is going to come back again. I love that, don't you? Now just get the picture, folks. Here are the disciples. They gathered around him. Boy, they've been following all over mountain and dale. They've been watching him, listening to him. They love him a whole lot. He's their master and their Lord. And Jesus is telling them about all these things. What's he saying? He told them, hey, gentlemen, I'm going to die. He said, those Romans out there are going to come. They're going to kill me. He tells them about pain and suffering. He tells them about all these things. He even talks about the Antichrist. And he talks about a world that's going to rise up in defiance of the holiness and the righteousness of Almighty God. And then Jesus tells them that don't you worry about a thing. I am going to come again. Turn with me very quickly to John chapter 14 in your Bibles. Just page over there with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. We're going to go to one of my favorite passages in Scripture. In fact, I know you can't see this. But this is my preaching Bible. I call it my preaching Bible because I don't put a lot of notes in it. Here in John chapter 14, as in my Bible, you can open up the pages and everything here is written in red. You know what that means? It means that Jesus said it. I love that in this particular edition of Bible. Now, folks, everything from Genesis to Revelation, God said it. There's not a word in this word that is not the word of God. It is without error. It is completely 100% truthful. It is beyond question. Every word from Genesis to Revelation. But you know, Jesus had some things to say that he didn't pass through Paul, or he didn't pass through John, or he didn't pass through somebody else. He just said it and it was written down. Well, here in this incredible chapter, in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, Jesus makes an incredible statement. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Can you hear that? Now you got to go back into John chapter 13 and the last verse in verse 38. Because in verse 38, Peter, who had a very unique relationship with the Lord Jesus, some people have said that Peter was Jesus' favorite disciple. I don't think so. I don't think Jesus had favorites, do you? I think he treats everybody, red and yellow and black and white, all people are precious in God's sight. I mean, he saw no barriers whatsoever. I mean, his arm was open wide. And I tell you, the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross was the blood that was shed for all people. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall never die, but will have eternal life. And here Peter walks up to Jesus at the end of chapter 13. I don't know, he must have been strutting. Peter was a fellow who was impressed with himself, and maybe Peter walked up to the Lord and said, Lord, don't you think I'm terrific? Lord, don't you think I'm the best thing since bubblegum? Lord, don't you know it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way? You know, if we understand Peter, I mean, Peter was really a bombastic sort of character. I mean, he was impressed. He was a marvelous person. I look forward to meeting him in heaven one day. But he walks up to Jesus and he says, Lord, why can't I follow you for now? I will lay down. Me? Peter looks at Jesus and says, you say some people are going to betray me, Lord? Excuse me? Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to Peter. I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says to him in verse 38, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, that before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Now, folks, if that's not a put-down, I don't know. I mean, Jesus, if you'll beg my pardon, put big old Peter in his place, didn't he? I mean, he came down there. He lowered the boom on that man. He said, let me tell you something, son. The heart of man is exceeding wicked. And I want to tell you, pride comes before a fall. And Jesus looked into the heart of Peter and he said to him, Peter, even you are going to betray me before the cock crows three times. Well, what bad news. And not only that, but it was said in front of all the disciples. You know, Peter must have gone up to the Lord and said, Lord, it's okay, I can understand if you tell me that, but couldn't you tell me these things in private, not in front of everybody? And Jesus in verse 1 of chapter 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. Look at it with me. You believe in God, you believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going up there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Isn't that a question we all ask? Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him because you've seen me. Jesus said, look at me, you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. That's why we believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. God teaches us that in his word. And so it is here that in this passage, that Jesus, in the midst of all of these troubling things, says, I've got some good news. I want you to know that I'm coming back. I'm not leaving. You know, my heart just goes out, folks, every time. And if you'll just forgive me for this, but I tell you, when I open the newspaper and I see that one of our servicemen have died serving our country, and I think of that family, it gets all over me. It just does something for me, folks. You see, Jesus was about to leave. In a sense, if I may say this respectfully, all right, he was abandoning ship. Or at least so the disciples. You see, they didn't understand about the Holy Spirit. Jesus tried to teach them, but they couldn't understand it until Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They didn't know who the Holy Spirit, they didn't really understand that. They hadn't seen the work of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was about to leave them. They were being plunged into chaos. They were being abandoned. They were being let loose to the wolves. And Jesus said, don't worry, I've got good news for you. I am coming back again. Amen? Oh, I like that. There was a second bit of good news, and that's right there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 13. Here it is, that his children will live in heaven with him forever. That's what verse 13 is all about. Those who stand firm, those who abide in me, those who belong to me, those who endure in the end times, they will be with me in heaven forever. I've got an announcement to make. If you've given your heart to Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ has you in the palm of his hand. And listen, the Bible says no one will pluck you out of his hand.
What a powerful assurance. Know that you cannot be separated from the love of God. Oh, how we'd love to talk with you and pray with you. We're available 866-899-WORD. That phone number, 866-899-9673. Anytime, day or night. We're also connecting on our website as well. Drop by tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And while you're there, sign up for the free email from Dr. Don every single day. And now let's dive back into future events with Dr. Don Wilton.
Not life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will ever be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That is a guarantee of Almighty God, sealed by the Holy Spirit and purchased with the blood of the Lamb. That's what God has done for you. It is the most incredible thing that you and I could ever imagine. Jesus giving good news. Number one, I am coming back. Number two, you, my children, will live with me forever in heaven. Why do you think he gave this good news? Three reasons. Number one, because the disciples asked him. It's right there in the first part of chapter 24 and verse 3. They asked him. They said, when are you coming back? You've said you're coming back. Help us understand. They said, when will be the end of the age? So he was answering their question. But there's a second reason why Jesus gave this good news. I love this. Because he loves you and he loves me. Boy, I tell you, we could just stop right there this morning, folks. Jesus gave this word about the fact that his children will be with him forever just because he loves us. He loves you very much. Did you know that this morning? Did you know how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you? He knows you by name. He loves you. He gave himself for you. But there's a third reason. Not only because the disciples asked, not only because he loves you very much, but there's a third reason Jesus gave this good news. Because Jesus knew that some people in the end times would succumb or give way to the pressure that surrounds them. Now, folks, I want you to listen to me. Jesus knows about the pressure in the world. You see, he became man. He became sin for us, even though he knew no sin. Jesus knew what it was like to weep and to hurt and to be sorrowful and to suffer pain. That's why he turned to God the Father on the cross and he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Jesus identifies with us. He knows about the pressure that we are facing. And here, talking about the end of times, Jesus lets us know about these wonderful things, about coming back again, and about the fact that we're going to be in heaven because we're standing and abiding in him, because he knew that there would be many who would succumb to pressure. By the way, this is just an aside. Do you know that shortly after Jesus, an emperor by the name of Nero, N-E-R-O, boys and girls, you remember that because he's one of the most ugliest, wickedest of all kings that ever ruled this earth. He was called an emperor. He was a Roman emperor, and his name was Nero, N-E-R-O. And he was a horrible man, and he didn't like Christian people at all. You know, one of the things he used to do, he used to get all the Christians and put wax on them and then light them alive so that he could have lights, human lights, for his banquets. You know, another thing he would do, he would get all the Christians and put animal skins on them and throw them in the arena and let animals come and just tear them apart and just kill them. And he would sit there eating his grapes and just having a big time. He was a very cruel man. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that Nero would be coming up to people and saying, are you a Christian? Because if you're a Christian, I'm going to throw you to the lions. Jesus knew that there would be people who would say, no way, no. They would succumb to pressure. What kinds of pressure do we face? Well, some people are under moral pressure all the time. The difference between right and wrong. Some people are under physical pressure. Well, we talked about bad news a moment ago. Physical pressure. Some people are under mental pressure. We're being bombarded with New Age, with cults, with Buddhism, with Islam, with just everything is just bombarding us. It's coming from everywhere. Some people are under pressure, emotional pressure. Their emotions are being played with. They're up one minute and down the next. I'll guarantee you there are people worshiping with us today who are under incredible emotional pressure. Some people are under spiritual pressure. God is calling you and you're resisting. You say, Pastor, how do you know this? I'll guarantee you there's someone sitting here today and you've been under spiritual pressure. The Lord Jesus has been calling you. He loves you. You know you need to give your heart to him, but you're under pressure. You're being pulled. You're being torn apart. You don't want to let go. Your pride is getting in the way. You're keeping your hands in your pockets and you won't take them out. You're under spiritual pressure. Jesus knew that. In fact, Jesus knew to the extent that he even described three kinds of pressure that are going to be in the world at the end of the age. Listen to what they are. He tells us, first of all, in verse 10, that for some people, the price will be too high. Look at verse 10 of chapter 24. The Bible says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. I wonder if there's anyone, I don't want anyone to raise their hands. I wonder if there's anyone here today who feels betrayed by a friend. Boy, that friend of yours, you say to her or him, I thought you were my friend. You went and said this about me. You ran me down. You destroyed me. You were betrayed and you are hurt. Well, look here. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us that for some people, the price will be too high. The pressure will be so great. Because in the latter days before Jesus comes again, people are going to hate one another. They are going to betray one another. Treachery is going to be the name of the game. But there was another thing. For some people, the talk will be too convincing. Right there in verse 11, he says, many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. How about that? Folks, listen to me. There are people turning on their television sets, listening to the radio, reading reports, talking to people all the time. You know what's happening? They are being deceived. They're being pulled away. There's all kinds of things going on in the world. Jesus was identifying this pressure. He said, for some, the price is going to be too high. For some people, the talk is going to be too convincing. But then he spoke about a third one in verse 12. He said, for some, sin will be too enticing. You see there in verse 12, he talks about the increase of wickedness. You see, what Jesus was saying is, listen, guys, listen, ladies, listen, boys and girls, in the last days, sin is going to become increasingly wicked, so that apple is going to look increasingly more and more attractive. There are going to be people left and right who are going to say, look, I know Jesus died for me. I know that he calls me to the standards that God sets out, but man, I just cannot handle it. He said, I've got good news. I'm coming back again, and I want you to know that those who are in me, those who stand firm to the end, those who belong to me will be saved. I love that. Makes me want to preach. It is wonderful. And so you'd say to me, well, Pastor, what's important? You know what the most important thing is? That you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. Friend, if you know Jesus and if you know you're going to heaven, four things must have happened to you. You must have done four things. You need to write these down, by the way. Write it in the back of your Bible. Write it on a piece of paper. You know, when someone comes up to you and says to you, man, how can I become a Christian? What must I do to know that my sins are forgiven? How can I know that I'm going to heaven? Four things. Number one, you must believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he rose from the dead. See, if you don't believe that in your heart, it's not going to happen, folks. There are people all over the world who believe in God. Do you know that even the devil believes in God? Bible says you must believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you must believe that this same Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death. He paid the price. He has set us free. Number two, you must acknowledge your sin and confess your sin to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, friend, the only difference between the best of us in here and the worst of them out there is the grace of God. That's the only difference. You must acknowledge your sin. It is your sin that has separated you from God. Number three, you must invite Jesus to come into your heart. Do you know that all over America today, people are praying prayers? Some people are reciting prayers. Some people are reading prayers. Some people are just saying spontaneous prayers. Friend, you can pray until you're blue in the face, but if you have not acknowledged who Jesus Christ is, if you have not acknowledged your sin and confessed them to Him, and if you have not invited Jesus Christ into your heart, He does not know you. You need to say to Him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And number four, I love this one. Number four, you must take God at His word. You must believe, you must have faith, you must take Him at His word. You see, friend, your salvation is not contingent on whether or not the lights fall out or whether or not you have a good feeling. I don't always have a good feeling. If my salvation depends upon my good feeling, I'm in trouble, because it means I'm going to be saved and unsaved at least 10 times a day. My faith is dependent upon the fact that I have trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Our prayer is that today you've heard not just from Dr. Wilton gaining insight and understanding and meaning, but you heard from the Lord. I pray now you'd open your heart to what Dr. Don would like to share next as he steps into the studio.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you just prayed with Dr. Don Wilton to give your life to Jesus Christ or rededicate your life, you need to know we would like to stand with you, pray with you, and equip you with wonderful resources that will help you grow in your faith. Call us at 866-899-WORD right now and let us know how God's stirring your heart, and let us give you these resources. 866-899-9673, or connect with us on our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org.
It all begins with God. Journey with Dr. Wilton as he takes you back to the beginning. Genesis, back to the beginning message, plus the bonus book, The Origin of Everything, will help you come face to face with some very foundational faith issues. You will also find answers to foundational questions about who you are and why you are here. This is a must-have gift to purchase for yourself, a friend, or loved one, including your child or grandchildren, to help them know truth when the enemy attacks. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 to request the life-changing message, Genesis, Back to the Beginning, and the bonus book with your gift of $25 or more per set. Thank you for supporting the Encouraging Word as we continue to proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to the world.
We're connecting 24 hours a day on our prayer line at 866-899-9673 and online at tewonline.org.
The Encouraging.